Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Luke 1, 13. And the angel said to Zechariah, "Be not afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer was heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son, your son, and you will call his name John. And he will be a joy to you and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and wine and strong drink he will drink in no way, and the Holy Spirit will be in him, with him, while he is in the womb of his mother. And many of the sons of Israel he will turn back to the Lord, and he will go forward before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn back the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to prepare for the Lord a people having been made ready. And Zechariah said to the angel, "By what will I know this? For I'm old, and my wife is well advanced in her days." And the angel answered and said to him, "I'm Gabriel, the one having stood before the Lord, and I was sent to speak to you and to announce these things to you. And behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things happen, because you did not believe in the words, in my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." Now the people were expecting Zechariah, and they were amazed that he was delayed in the temple. And having come out, he was not able to speak to them. And they understood that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept motioning to them, and he remained mute. And it came about, as they were fulfilled the days of his service, that he went to his house, and after these days, Elizabeth became pregnant, his wife. And she was hiding herself for 5 months, because she said, "The Lord has done this to me in the days in which he looked with favor to take away my reproach among men." Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin who was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and he was of the house of David. And the name of the virgin was Miriam. And having approached toward her, he said, "Hail, one having been favored, the Lord is with you." But she, at the message, was greatly perplexed, and she kept pondering what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. This one will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God, who will give to him the throne of David. And he will rule over the house of Jacob and unto the end of the ages, and of the kingdom of him there will never be an end." But Mary said to the angel, "Well, how will this be? I don't even know a man." And answering, the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Therefore, the one being born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, she also has conceived a son in her old age, and this month is now her sixth month for her who was once called barren, because it's not impossible for God to do everything he says. And Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid or the bondservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, this scripture makes no sense unless you read the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, a miracle had been predicted, and the miracle just took place in Mary's life, whether she knew that scripture or not. It was a common scripture. In fact, people were looking forward to a miracle, something happening strange. Not that a virgin should have a child. If a virgin has a child, she's no longer a virgin. She's now a mother. So you can't have a virgin, have a child, and then still be a virgin. And some say that's the miracle. No. The miracle is that an Alma, which in the Hebrew language means someone who's a wife of a man, but has not yet been impregnated, have not had any physical relations, but has waited for the consummation. So it's one thing to go through a marriage ceremony, and it's another thing to be married. You're not married in the fullest sense until the both happen. One, it's been declared before God that you're married, and two, that you consummate the marriage. If you don't consummate the marriage, then it's not a marriage. So it ceases to be. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a 12-month waiting period between the time you went through the ceremony of marriage and physical contact. 12 months, at least. It could be more. During that time, the bride, the betrothed woman, who really was the wife already of the husband, was being examined or watched to see whether she was spotless, whether she was pure. And if anything came up during that 1 year's time, or it could be more, but not less. If anything happened during that trial time, betrothal, very different than our engagement, then the husband could divorce her or put her away if he found any uncleanness in her. Now, I'm telling you all this for a reason. I've told it before, so it's not like new information. But it happens to represent exactly where we are as a church. We are already the bride of Christ, and he is our husband. Nevertheless, we have not consummated that marriage. So it's important for you to make a division, a separation, a distinction between being married but not consummated. So to be married but not consummated is called betrothal. So a virgin is not what it says. What it says is an alma. An alma means you're a young woman who's still a virgin, but you've never been with a man, ever. And she shall conceive. Now that's the miracle. That a woman who's married but yet hasn't consummated could have a baby. That's impossible. Virgins like that don't have babies. If a man has not slept with you, if you have not received the sperm or the seed of a man, you can't have a baby. And yet, the prophecy in the Old Testament was a miracle would take place. It's a sign to Israel, not to the world. This is just for Israel. A virgin shall conceive, called an Alma, a woman who's married but not yet consummated during the 12-month waiting period. A virgin or an Alma shall conceive. It's impossible. She wouldn't be a virgin anymore. She wouldn't be an Alma. She would be disqualified immediately. Her husband would put her away. Exactly what Joseph was about to do. And she will bear a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel. Well, the angel just told Mary, in effect, you're the Alma. You are the virgin. You are the one that has never had any physical relations with a man. You're pure. But you will have a child, and you're going to call his name, not Emmanuel, but you're going to call his name Jesus. Now later you'll learn the meaning of called. Sometimes called means the actual name, but sometimes the same word, called, means that's your title. That's who you are. It's a description of who you are. For example, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Four names. But those are not really his names. Those are his titles. So it's a description of who this child will be, the Son of God. This child will be God with us. The name Emmanuel is like imminent, imman. So if something is imminent, that's with us. And El is the name for God. So God with us. So it isn't just another man being born, another son. Zechariah's son, Elizabeth's son, John, he was born of Zechariah's sperm, of his seed that was sown into him. And that seed or that sperm went in and got a hold by the womb. The womb took a hold of that sperm or seed, and it produced something. So there was conception or pregnancy, and then there was a 9-month waiting period, and then there was a birth or a bringing forth or a manifestation of that which was conceived. So that's something normal. We understand that process. But here a miracle was to take place in Mary's case, not in Elizabeth. Elizabeth was an old woman. The miracle was that she was old and had a child. But the miracle was not that she didn't have a father. Always the question is asked, well, who fathered this baby? Here's the baby. The mother has brought forth a baby. Who fathered that baby? Who conceived of this baby? How did this woman get this pregnancy? And that's a big question often in legal terms or in practical terms. Well, who was the man? And in my own case, for example, it wasn't clear who my father was. You know, was he this man or this man or this man? Or who was he? And one of my second father claimed he was the father, but my mother told me he wasn't the father. There was another man who was prior to him. He was the father. And so one had to figure out. Now, she birthed somebody, tried to abort me so that I wouldn't come forth, but I was conceived and then tried to get rid of me there, but there was a gap. There was a time frame. So it's very interesting to me because I could have been eliminated. I should have been eliminated. And, you know, praise God for me. I'm so glad that they didn't eliminate me. I don't know why. I just have that thought that I'm glad I'm here. But I shouldn't be. And my grandmother was determined to see to it that I didn't come forth. But she should have been more interested that my mother wasn't having fun, because my mother was dancing and going about and having parties and, you know, having a good time with several young men. And so that's how I got here. But I'm not ashamed of that. My mother might be, but I'm not. I'm so glad she did all that, because that's how I got here. Who cares how you got here? The fact that I'm here. And I'm now a son of God. I'm so glad that Jesus was born into the world to redeem me. And I can only say that nobody particularly wanted me. I'm a reject. But Jesus did. I don't know, that is really interesting to me. I'm thankful to God that he wanted me into the world. I was a pagan. I was a total unbeliever. I was not a Christian. I wasn't even raised as one. Never even went to church till I was 11 years old, first time I ever went to a church. And, you know, I didn't know anything about anything. But here I am, a pastor. That's amazing. That's even, that is a miracle. That's a miracle that I'm alive, that I got saved, that I became a pastor, that I got filled with the Holy Spirit, that I'm in love. It's all a miracle. I didn't have anything to do with any of it. I did not have anything to do with any of it. In fact, when I heard about Jesus, I fought against it. I didn't want to be a Christian. I wanted to be a sinner, whatever that was. I mean, it just, I didn't even know the word. I just knew I just wanted to do my own thing. I was trying to protect myself. After all, it was a rough beginning. So that was World War II, at the height of the Depression, at the height of, you know, I mean, everything was rationed. It was an awful time. And you weren't supposed to speak against Germans and Russians. I remember that when I was little. Was, don't say anything. As a little kid, was I was scared. I didn't know who Germans were. I didn't know who the Russians were. I didn't know who they were, but you had to eat all the food on your table or the Chinese would starve. That I knew. I didn't want Chinese people starving. So I had to eat all my food. Yeah, they're still starving. But I did eat all my food. I hated spinach, though. I did not like spinach. And liver. Oh, man, I hated liver. Let the Chinese, maybe that's what happened to the Chinese. I wouldn't eat my liver. So there you have it. So this prophecy that was given is extraordinary. It's so extraordinary that for 700 years before it happened, Isaiah the prophet said, this will be the sign to Israel that an Alma shall conceive and bear. Now the word for conceive in the Hebrew is harah. So let's say that. Hurrah. It sounds like hurrah, but it's actually hara. But it sounds like hurrah, but it's, she will conceive. She will be impregnated. A virgin will be impregnated without a man. That was a marvelous thing. And will conceive and bear. So not only conceive, yalad. So hurrah. Yalad. First she'll conceive, 9 months later, travail, pain, she'll bring forth a baby boy. And this baby, whose name was Emmanuel, or was that his title, turned out to be his title, that would be God. That would actually be God with us. And I'm going to explain that over the next 3 or 4 weeks as we head for the celebration of Jesus' entry into the world. Now, unlike you and me, I wasn't existing before I came into the world. The way I got into the world is very interesting, because my real father, my biological father, had to bring me into the world. But he only knew my mother for a few hours, and then that was over. So he never saw her again. He came to the house to try to find out if my mom, you know, if he could date her again or whatever. But my mother's grandmother told him, oh, she's not here. She went back to Virginia. So they lied to keep my biological father away from the family. And then his family lied, and they told him, yeah, she's gone. She's not there. So he couldn't find me. And he didn't find me until I found him. That was actually Peggy who found him. But I didn't really want to find him. But he worked for Jimmy Hoffa. So he was one of Jimmy Hoffa's henchmen. And so that was good that I wasn't raised by him. He apologized as soon as we met. Oh, I wished I could have raised you. I laughed. Oh no, I'm so glad you didn't. I would be a different life. Anyway, So we met three times, and then I never, then he's dead. So he's gone. But I thank God for that father, because that's how I got into the world. But you see, I didn't exist beforehand, but Jesus actually was the Logos, the Word, which became flesh. I didn't become flesh because I didn't exist before. But he was actually pre-existing as God's son. And then he was born into the world through a natural birth, but not quite natural like I was, because he didn't have a father. He had a heavenly father. So Mary was told, well, here's the miracle, is that the Most High God will overshadow you. And it isn't at all like a man and a woman together. It's going to be different. And the child, therefore, will not be born of a male, of the seed of Adam. He will not be Adam's seed. He'll be born of a woman. Now, why is that important? Well, because Mary is a woman. How many know that the word Mary is not a man's name? So Mary is a woman. In fact, it means bitter. Miriam. Miriam. Now, what she was doing was vindicating Eve. You remember after Adam and his wife sinned, they had children. Now, they were supposed to die. Remember, they were. He said, if you eat this tree, you're going to die the same day. Well, they assumed, as we all would assume, that God meant day in the same way we mean day, 24 hours. But they didn't die. So there she was. And Adam, when he saw that she didn't die in a 24-hour period, he decided to give her a name. You know, I think I'll give her the name Mother of All Living, Chava. So in the Hebrew language, Chava is Eve. So Eve is Chava. Listen to it. It's an aspirated word, Chava. Now listen to the man's name, Adam. Can you hear the difference? Adam, Chava. One sounds softer than the other. Chava. And it's precious. It's beautiful. It's something wonderful. But Adam, that means like red dirt. So that's what it means, bloody. So Chava, it's sweeter. So that makes Peggy sweeter than me. And indeed she is. I'm not very sweet. Adam. You know, so I'm like Nick, kind of rough, strong. Nick, you're just like me. I'm just like you. Very hard to reason and deal with. Is that true, Judy? Yes, okay. But what a blessing you are, because it takes Adam plus Hava to make children. So that's how the world came to be. Well, when Eve, because Mary knew that Eve was her ancestor, and she knew she had a bad rap because she was the first one that sinned. So when Eve sinned, she had this bad thing on her that she was the first one. But when Eve was followed by Mary, Mary brought forth not Cain, but the Son of God. So she tried to call Cain. That's our son right there. And he'll be the Son of God. No. Adam was the Son of God, but Cain was rejected. And therefore, though born of the flesh, because Adam had sinned, now Cain had a problem. And so now how to overcome that problem? So Eve was replaced by Mary to say, God chose a woman who brought sin. He chose a woman to bring salvation. Isn't that interesting? I mean, that, to me, that's very powerful. That he didn't use Joseph. He used Mary. Didn't use Joseph. In fact, he eliminated Joseph. Just took him right out of the picture. Joseph was of the royal house of David, but Jesus wasn't born of Joseph's seed. Zara. In the Hebrew language, the word for seed or sperm is zara. And so He didn't use that seed, but he overshadowed Mary so that the child born would be holy. Now, John the Baptist was born of Zechariah and Elizabeth as a contrast. So he was born in sin. King David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." So when you're born of a human father and a human mother, it's you're born of sin. I mean, you know, that you're born into sin. I'm sorry. You know, you may not like it. Maybe you would have been a good person, but your parents and your grandparents, and going all the way back to Adam and Eve, how many know that you wouldn't have sinned if you had your chance? You would be a good person. Well, you're a liar. You're wrong. So, you see, Jesus, however, did not have an earthly father. He had a heavenly father, and so he was called holy. The child shall be holy because he is not born of a, he's born of a woman. You see, that's interesting. Why the woman could do this and not the man? I just told you why. Because God was vindicating Eve. He was saying it wasn't just Eve that sinned, it was Adam and Eve. They both sinned. But God wanted to prove something, that this child would be born through Mary, a chosen vessel, not because Mary was pure. That's what, and I'm not picking on the Catholic Church, but that's what the Catholic Church said is, oh, Mary was immaculate. No. Mary was just a sinner like everyone. Mary was exactly like unto us. The thing that makes Mary so powerful is that she believed what the angel said, but Zechariah didn't. Zechariah was told, the child, you know, is going to be born. It's going to be a miracle. Your wife is old, but still she's going to have a baby. And that was a great miracle. But then when Mary was told, you're going to have a child, it's going to be a miracle and so on, but you're not going to have Joseph be the father. It'll be God the Father. And the weird thing is that she believed him. That's like, wow, why would she believe? I mean, Zechariah didn't. He doubted. Well, how can that be? And Mary said this, well, how can that be? Because I've never known a man. I've not had intercourse with a man. I've had no carnal knowledge of a man. So how can that be? But she wasn't doubting. She was actually believing what the angel just said and asked how it could be. But he said, how can that be? But his was a doubt, and hers was faith. He doubted and said, come on, my wife is old. I mean, you know, I don't think that can happen. And he said, okay, you'll be mute. You won't be able to speak because you talk too much. So I'm just going to make you mute. So he had to write everything down on a tablet. Now, this miracle that took place in the sixth month when Elizabeth had been hiding. How many know that we have hidden sins? We hide things. And she was reproached by everybody. There must be something wrong with you, Elizabeth. You can't have a baby. You can't have a child. Something's wrong with you. You're weird. You're strange. And so all the other women said, you know, wow, thank God we had babies, but she's not having one. There's something wrong. Well, there's nothing wrong with Elizabeth. And so God said to Zechariah, her husband, your prayers have been answered. And he should have believed, but he doubted. Say, well, I don't know. She's not as old, perhaps, as Sarah. They're pretty old, though. We've gotten her a cane. And, you know, we've enrolled her in the nursing home across from Emmanuel Christian Fellowship Church. So she's enrolled across the street here. But she's pretty old. And she had her Medicare ticket. So she is already 1 foot in the grave. And so that was kind of a concern to Zechariah. He says, well, I don't think we're ready for a baby. No, that's not going to happen. So he doubted. But Mary, she didn't doubt. She just wondered how he was going to do it. She believed him. Isn't that interesting? It sounds so close. Do you see the difference between some... You have to examine things in the Lord's way. Is it a doubt when I ask a question, or is it faith when I ask a question? God knows. And you also know. You know, if God says something to you, for example, I'll say something to you, and it'll be from God. The best is yet to come. Now, if you doubt that, that's a doubt. But if you go, I don't know, Pastor, it's been this way in the world for all those years, but if you say that's what the Lord has said, I'll believe it. Well, then that's faith. So it's the same word, but it produces two different responses. Now, they didn't go to hell because of it, but they, you know, he couldn't speak because of it. It had a consequence. But eventually then he could speak, and when he spoke, oh, it was powerful. But it's a good thing he kept his mouth shut. Sometimes that would be good for some of you. Just keep your mouth shut until the Holy Spirit fills you with something to say, because nobody wants to hear your opinion about anything. Because a lot of times what we say is not very helpful. A lot of the words that we have are not from God. They're not from heaven. They're just simply a lot of blather. Not inspired at all. So, and they're based on fear and doubt. A lot of the talk that we talk out of our mouth is based on fear and doubt. So when this woman bore this son, here's what's so interesting. In order to be the Son of Man, the Messiah, Jesus had to be the Son of God, the Son of the living God. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, the angel told Mary, your child will be called great, the Son of the living God, or the Son of the Most High. All right? So, we know at least he's called Son of God by the angel. But Jesus asks Peter and the other disciples, who do men say that I am? And then he says it this way. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he calls himself Son of Man. The angel called him Son of God. In order to be the Son of Man, you have to be the Son of God. Now, I could not be the Son of Man. What is a Son of Man? Well, that's a king. A king over men, who rules over men. In order to be a king, you have to have two qualifications. One, you have to be a priest. God's kind of king would have to prove before he was empowered that he had the authority and the desire to bless his people. How many know that most politicians are not interested in your interests? They have an office that says, God gave you this office to care for the people's interests. But when the politician gets into office, she or he normally get bribed so that they listen to the lobbyist who pays them or the people that supported them, and then they forget all about all their promises and they just get bribed or paid off. And that's one thing when you're a pastor or a husband or a politician, you're not allowed to take a bribe, because my first job is to bless Peggy. It's not to bless myself. My first job is to bless you. It's not to bless myself. My first job is to bless the constituents. It's not to bless myself. So I ignore my own interests. Why? Because if you're sent by God, if you're born of God and then matured by God and then sent by God, you have no self-interest. Why? Because you take up your cross. You just forget yourself. Why? So you can love others. How can I love others if I'm still concerned about myself? So if God takes care of me, well, then of course I can. What if I seek first the kingdom of God and then he takes care of all my needs according to his riches and glory? Well, then I can take care of others. Otherwise, I shouldn't be a husband. I shouldn't be a pastor. I shouldn't be a politician. I shouldn't be anything, even a businessman. Why? Because God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Now, there's someone who's free. So I can afford to love my wife, love my children, love my church, love my world, love my enemies, love whoever. It's easy. It's easy to throw my life away That is, lay it down. If I know I'm well taken care of. How many know if God takes care of you, you don't have to care for yourself? If the parent loves the child, then the child doesn't have to take care of himself. How many know little kids don't want to take care of the family? Little kids want to be cared for. When a child is born into the world, usually the first word they say when they come out of the womb is, that's usually their first word, which means, hey, everybody, it stinks out here. It was great where I just was, but it's awful out here. What kind of a crummy world is this? It's cold, for one thing. And I want everyone to meet my needs. And, you know, sure enough, that does it. They express their selfish little take care of me needs. I mean, you know, the little kids aren't, they. I always make this amusing statement, but it's funny to me. They don't come out saying, hey, Mom, now that I'm here, anything you need, I'll be willing to help out on that. I'm here to be a blessing. No, little babies only want to be taken care of. They don't want to take care of anybody. They don't want to help anybody. And sometimes when they have gas, they'll put a little funny face on and the mother will say, oh, she's smiling. And it's really just gas, you know. But they're trying to make that little child care for them and love them and be friendly. So we're waiting for that first smile to come forth. So I said, did you see he's smiling? This is actually just gas. Sorry. So little kids aren't appreciative at all. And as they grow up, they're still not appreciative. Except for the Christmas cards you get or the birthday cards, you would never know your kids even cared. But of course, they have to buy those cards because those are the only cards they have. So they're trying to buy a Christmas card because you're supposed to. And they all say something like, you're the most wonderful parents in the world. So they give you those, and that's the only way you know at all that they're appreciative. But again, those are the only cards they make. So when Mary brought forth her firstborn son, she called his name not Emmanuel, not Mighty God, not Wonderful Counselor, not Everlasting Father, not Prince of Peace. She called his name Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the Hebrew word Yeshua, and it means he shall save. So who does he save? Innocent people? No. He's the Holy One, and we're not. We're all guilty because we're unholy. And the reason he had to be the Son of God was so he could be holy. That's why he was born in this funny fashion. Now he's the Son of God who becomes the Son of Man, the priest king. But in order to be Son of God holy, he had to be holy so that he could be a holy priest, not an unholy priest. How many know that many pastors are not so holy? No, they aren't. They're not at all serving you. They're not at all laying down their life for you. I get up early and I go to bed late and so on or whatever I do. That's for you. It's not for me. I'm not having any fun. Why do I want to pray and read the Bible all the time and study and do whatever I do? It's for you. Am I virtuous? No, it's just my job. Jim, you will do that. Okay. So he had to kill me to get me to do it. I mean, it killed me. It's because he knows how selfish I am by nature. So he had to not only rebirth me, born me again, but he also had to transform me by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that basically meant kill my old man so that I didn't have to take care of myself any longer. Say, hey, God, I don't need to care for myself because you'll take care of me. If I neglect myself in order to bless the ones you told me to bless, and I'm just going to tell you, loving people is a full-time job. It's full-time. I mean, if it was just Peggy alone, I would be up night and day trying to please her. I could never, she's like a complete, like a hole that you can never fill up. You know, Peg, are you happy now? No. Okay, how about now? No, keep coming. And I'm worn out just trying to please Peg. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You cannot please people. That's one thing I learned. God, she's not full yet. She's not happy. When is she going to get happy? Never. Oh, Well, should I keep doing this? Yeah. I'm just pouring down the drain here. It's endless. And then, if you have church members, they're never happy either. You're just pouring more down the drain. And they're just good money after bad. And they're not appreciative at all. People don't appreciate. Peggy's never said, "Jim, you have loved me more than enough. Just hold it right there. I'm full up with love. Let me just love you now. Let me just take care of you from now on. Let me just be your helpmate and bless you. I'll never complain again," you know. I've never heard that. No, she's just insatiable. You know, that's a big word. That means never satisfied. And the congregation's the same. You know, there are some members that will call you every day to just waste your time. And they think they're the only member in the whole church because they just can't imagine you're not sitting right there at the phone waiting for the call. Oh, I was waiting for your call. Thank you. Then I got all these other people, but they think this is important, Pastor. Now just drop everything you're doing and let me just monopolize your time. And could we meet together for several hours? No, let's just have a prayer quick. God bless this person. Amen. I mean, people can waste your time. You just wear you out. Is anyone aware of this? Yeah, you're not. You don't know because when I answer the phone, I'm always friendly sounding. But I'm actually going, "Rawr." But I said, "Well, God bless you, Wills. Hallelujah." Do y'all see that? So, how many know if you just have two people in your life, it's too much? One people is too much. But 50 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, it's too much. You cannot please all the people in the world. So, if you're a people pleaser, you're in trouble because you don't know which people to please. Amen? So, I solved it. I just don't please anybody. I'll tell you what, I'm so happy since I decided to do that. Just don't please Peggy. Don't please nobody. Just don't please people. Please the Lord. Did you know that's a scriptural? Did you know that's scriptural? Did you know that that's scriptural? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. I'll give you everything else. Wow. What would happen if a husband or a wife or anybody would just serve God, not worry about man? Would God take care of man if I just ministered to God? That's what he said. Seek me, just seek me, I'll give you everything else. Isn't that amazing? Do y'all see what I'm saying? You don't. These are deep things. These are powerful things. What would happen if you literally, as I did, said, "Well, God, I can't please everybody. The only one that's pleased with me is you. And that's because you love sinners. As I just seem to have sins. And my sins are going to get in the way." So the reason Jesus came was to forgive me all my sins. He had to be the Son of God to be the Son of Man. So he could not only be the Holy One to convict me, then be the merciful One to forgive me, and then be the powerful One to change me and transform me by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Now that one God, Peter said, "Who do men say that I am?" Jesus said. And Peter said, "I know who you are. The Messiah of Israel is you. The Son of Man is you. You're the Son of Man. You're the Son of Man." And then he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So he said, he identified two things. One, you're the Messiah, the Son of Man, who is the Son of God. So you have to be Son of God, holy, to be Son of God, to be Son of Man, who is both priest, Savior, and King, Lord. So priests are merciful, lords are powerful. Lords who rule over, they're the ones that use their power to serve, to bless. But why would they serve unless they first are servants? Most people today use power to dominate, to control, to use people for their own interests. That was my natural take on life, is, "Hey, I'm gonna see if I can dominate a few people and see if I can get my way. How many know that's a way to go? How many have ever done that, tried that? Well, after a while, you'll find that it doesn't work very well because people seem to resist domination. I don't know why. I can't imagine why people didn't want me to dominate them because they were fools and I knew what was best for them. How many know that if you're clever like I am, you can just look at a person and see what they need and you could tell, well, you know, what you need is just to listen to me. What you need is just to serve my interests. And I tried that out. That didn't work. Peggy was the first one that ruined that for sure. I tried to get her to worship me, to follow me, to listen to me. Peg, you don't know anything. Just be quiet and listen the way I think about everything and so on and so forth. Don't give me your opinion. Just you don't have anything to say. Just listen to me. Now, I don't know why, but she wouldn't accept that. She would not accept that. That was a shock to me. As Peg, am I not brilliant? Don't I know what I'm doing? She didn't even answer. She just went about her own thing. Isn't that amazing? So I realized right there, well, marriage is not at all what I thought it was going to be. I thought marriage was going to be where she was my helpmate. Peg, help! You know, when you see me doing something, just join right alongside. Isn't that a powerful idea? That a man would have a helpmate, that sounds like someone to help him, not someone to criticize, undermine, emasculate, rebel from. I'm rowing the boat this way, she's rowing it the opposite. Peg, we're rowing this way. No, we're going to go this way. It's an opposition. You don't see it. Peg, I see it. I've got this thing worked out. Just go my way. Always go my way, then everything will work out great. We'll have a great marriage. Just do it my way. Well, for some reason, she rebelled from that idea. She just didn't see it. And God said, that's what I was doing. My gosh, I can't win for losing. It seems like everybody wants me to go with them. Will I then be happy because I went with God or went with everybody? So I decided the only one I could really please would be God. Because he seemed to be rowing in the direction of helping me. God seemed to, you know, love me as a sinner. And he seemed to want to help me, even though I didn't deserve it. So I started rowing his direction. I went, whoa, this is a lot better than rowing against Peg. I'm not going to row against her anymore. I'll just let her do whatever she wants to. I'm just going to love her the way she is. And Judy, I just stopped criticizing altogether. Just, there's no point in it. She doesn't listen anyway, doesn't pay attention, doesn't admire me, doesn't, you know, at all. It gave me none of the worship I deserved. How many know that, you know, we have some value and some worth? How many know that doesn't work too well in a marriage? So I just found, well, forget the law, forget the expectation, forget all the rules and expectations, just throw them out the window. Because she's just going to do what she's going to do. And she wants me to take care of her 100%. And I wanted her to take care of me 100%. So we had a little difference of opinion. That took about 25 years to learn for me. Is I don't think Peg is going to make it. She's just not, she just doesn't have the program down as I've got it. I thought the man was the head. Then I read the Bible to establish my point really well. And it said, Jesus said this, I'm not among you as one to be served, but to serve. Oh, I hated that verse. I didn't want to hear that verse. Could I get another verse? So I'm looking around for some nice verses that might fit my program. Take up your cross and follow me. How about another verse? Kept looking for verses on my side. So I found out that God was the first one to serve me. And that was the last. Nobody else wanted to serve me, just God. Has anyone else found that out, that little secret? The only one that really loves me the way I am is God. No other person loves me the way I am. Peggy's always trying to correct me and, you know, now don't look at what you look like. Get back in here. Let me fix you up so you're decent looking. So he's always wanting me to say the right things. You know, you talk too much or you did this or whatever. You know, you scratch your ears too much or whatever. Yeah, that's your helpmate. I know. She was helping. She was helping me. Oh, so after a while, you know, okay, If God be for me, who can be against me? Do what you want to do. Trample on me. It's no big deal. Don't appreciate me. Don't appreciate me. You know, it doesn't matter. How many learn after a while, nobody cares for you except God. Only God is good. No one else is good but God. Ah, that's so powerful. That set me free. Ah, well, then I don't need Peg to take care of me. I don't need Peg to cooperate. I don't need her. She can row all, any way she wants to row. Hit me over the head with the oar, bang. You know, it doesn't make any difference. Y'all understand what I'm saying? This is a new concept, a new idea that I got from this Son of God became Son of Man guy. So when Jesus was born into the world, he was holy so that he could be a holy priest and he could be a merciful king. You see how he borrowed from holy to merciful, from merciful to mighty or powerful. So for Jesus to be the Lord, tell me what to do, first of all, he has to prove to me that he's merciful. But to prove to me that he's merciful, I would have to know if that was really what God wanted him to do. That was the true holiness, was not that holiness by which he's holy to condemn me, but that holiness by which God is holy to make me holy, just by faith, because I was a sinner. So God has instituted a whole new way of life down here, and I'm having fun. I don't know how many else are in this kingdom thing, but I love it. In the kingdom, God does all the loving, and we do all the taking. A great idea. It's exactly what I had in mind with Peg. But it didn't work with her. So it worked with Jesus. Because Jesus wants to bless me. How many here are loved by God no matter what? Woo! I'm telling you that is unbelievable because you don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. Peggy gave me what I deserved. But I gave her back too. But that didn't work out so hot. I found out she was not going to just quit. I thought, well, if I punish her like this, she'll pull back. She didn't pull back. It just became more fierce. You know, I thought, well, I'm having trouble here getting this thing working. But Jesus came along. That was why he was born of a virgin. That's why he was born of an alma. That's why he was the Son of God, holy, because he had a new concept of holy that I didn't understand. Holy is not holiness to make me feel bad. Holy is holiness to actually make me into his image and likeness. You have borne the image of the earthly, now bear the image. Remember that word bear is like birth? Now bear the image of the heavenly. It's a different image. Now, that one works. I don't know if anyone else has discovered that secret that I discovered. Did anyone else discover that secret that I discovered? Anybody? Nobody? I'm the only one? Nobody's discovered that? Come on. I'll pay you $5. The secret that only God loves us. And the only one that is any good is God. So I don't need people to do it because I don't need them. Because God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Yeah, then I don't need Peggy to do it. Okay, ask the question again. How many now have found that secret? Hey, praise the Lord, I just asked the wrong questions. That's the wrong question. All right, now I got it. All right. So, that's why Jesus came. Forgive sinners, number two, to be the holy one to convict you of sin, number one. Why would he forgive me unless he was holy and I wasn't? So now that he's, number one, show me that I'm a sinner. Number two, showed me that as a sinner, I can be forgiven. And number three, showed me that as a forgiven sinner, I can be transformed by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Wow. That is a kingdom that will change this earth. And it's changed my life forever. Forever and ever. Not just in this world, but for the world to come. I am completely now happy with people just the way they are. I'm happy with enemies. I'm happy with friends. I'm happy with everybody because I don't have any more law. I have no more rules, no more expectations. Other people can sin all they want. It's okay with me. I'm completely happy with people sinning. Isn't that amazing? Is anybody else like that? Anybody happy with other people sinning? Happy with people not living up to any expectations? Is anybody happy with people that are obnoxious? Anybody happy with people that hate you? Happy with people that, you know, despise you, try to undermine you and destroy you? I'm happy. I'm telling you what. When you have God, if God be for you, who can be against you? Why worry about what people can do? What can people do? What can man do to me? That's what the Bible says. So is anybody else on my team on that one? You are too? Thank you, Barbara. Are you sure you're getting this? Whoa, that's good. So you can actually say, I want you to say these words. I don't want a good marriage. I don't want to have health. I don't want to have money. I don't want people to understand me. I don't want people to appreciate me. I have everything because God loves me with a perfect love. That's the kingdom. That is amazing. I'm rich because of him. I'm healthy because of him. Everything I've ever needed, he gave it to me. I like the marriage I'm in right now because it's perfect. I like the economy right now. It just couldn't be better. How many know this is the best time to be alive right now? This couldn't be better. Things are going my way, zippity-doo-dah. Hey, man, I'm telling you, I'm so excited. Is anybody else excited? Yeah, couldn't be better. I'm telling you, everything's going our way. The kingdom of God is coming. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. Woo-hoo! So I don't care what the economy does. I don't care what society's like. I don't care how many wars and rumors of wars and troubles and problems, difficulties, marital problems, personal problems, mental problems, emotional problems. I don't care about them. Jesus came into the world and he was birthed in Mary in a special kind of way so that he could birth in me from now on. Now I'm impregnated with the Holy Spirit of God who has overshadowed me through the power of the word that Savior gave to me. Number two, that same Holy One is also the Savior who is also the King. He's the legislative, executive, and judicial branches all wrapped into one. Do you see, kings today are usually not very merciful. They're not looking out for your interests at all. Look, taking care of themselves. They're selfish. And, you know, I worked for 20-some years in the political process and watched the whole thing fall apart. And I watched it build up, and then I watched it fall apart. But what I learned was what I already knew before I started. That people are corrupt. And then I learned it. Now I don't have just a theory, people are corrupt. I have experience. I know the corrupt people. I worked with them. They're corrupt. And it's great to know that. It's great to know that because then you don't put any hope in man. You don't believe people. You're not naive. How many know that in this world, you have to be wise as a serpent, but innocent and pure as a dove? Huh. There was one time I was wise as a serpent and wicked as one. Is anybody like that? I mean, I tell you what, life will just toughen you up like that. You won't be naive too long because naive people get hurt over and over, and pretty soon you get smart. Like, well, not going to happen to me again. Has anybody ever had that kind of thought? Hey, that's not going to happen to me. I'll tell you right now, no man's going to ever do that to me one more. No. Has anybody ever, don't raise your hand, but, you know, that's sort of the way to invite the devil to come into your life when you make those kind of promises. Well, that's not going to happen to me. Really? I'm done being a fool. Really? That's so interesting. I seem to be a repeat case. I don't know. Is anybody else? I seem to fall for stuff over and over again. Is anyone else like me? You know, it's like, I don't know. I still fall for the same old stuff. So I'm glad I have a Jesus that protects me and says, Jim, you would be a complete fool were it not for me. Just stop talking. Stop acting. Let me tell you what to do. Let me run your life. Well, Jesus, don't I have any good ideas? No. Oh, okay. Well, all right, tell me what to do, what to say. So that's my prayer every day. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Isn't that amazing? Now, that doesn't mean I don't say my own stuff and do my own stuff. But I'm asking him, God, take over. Because I think I'll harm people today if I'm not careful. I'll probably destroy three or four people in my blessing them. I'm here to bless you. That's like the government saying, we're here to help. Yeah, help yourself. I mean, no, government doesn't have any power. It only has your money. It doesn't have any money of its own. When it cranks up the old printing press, that's my money. You just simply lowered the value of my money. So everything they do is parasite. That's all they can do. So you better keep them in a real small box. Otherwise, they'll take everything. With all the power that they have, they'll use that power against us. Jesus is the first king of the world who is a righteous king because he's merciful. He's holy, merciful, and mighty. Holy, merciful, and mighty. That's why he had to be born of a virgin, just like the prophet said. A young woman, a virgin, a betrothed Alma, shall conceive, told you that word was hara, and bear, yalad, shall conceive, hara, and bear, yalad. Now in the New Testament, similar words in the Greek are used, and all the way through the Bible, so-and-so conceived and bore a son. So-and-so conceived and bore a daughter. Those are the only possibilities. But you have to conceive in order to bear. You cannot birth without conceiving. So this was a miracle that Jesus was conceived without a man. And he did that because he was the Holy One. He did that because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Did you know that within a short period of time, Jesus will be back, set up his kingdom on earth, and you and I are going to be part of that kingdom? I mean, that's short. The world isn't going to keep going. It's coming soon now that he's coming back for his bride, and she has to be without any spot or any wrinkle. Now, I've told you how to get rid of your spots and wrinkles. Anybody know how to get rid of the spots and wrinkles? Okay, a spot is a sin. It's a blemish. It's something amiss, wrong, wicked, fleshly, you. How do you get rid of that? How do you get rid of you? How do you get rid of all those spots in your life? Not only in your spirit, but in your soul and in your body. How do you get rid of all the sin in your life? Does anybody know how? Does anybody know how? Fire. Yeah, fire will purify. That's a good one. The blood of Jesus. That's number two. The blood of Jesus will get rid of any spot you have. So if you had a white dress on, you're about to get married, and all of a sudden your husband after the 12-month period looked at you and said, there's a couple of wrinkles. I see some hiding things, some shadows in your life, and there's some spots on your dress. He then divorces you and says, I can't marry you. I'm just telling you something strong. It's not being taught by the churches. Strong. Jesus is not coming back for a bride with a spot. He will not come back with a bride with a wrinkle. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. So how do you clean up those spots? How do you get rid of those wrinkles? Because none of us are capable of cleaning spots or removing wrinkles. We're capable of creating them, but not cleaning them up. How do you do it? I've told you before, the blood covers every spot. So when God sees the spot, but sees the blood over the spot, he doesn't see the spot. He sees the blood. He says, you have faith in the blood of Jesus. Now, human blood won't cover your spots. You could kill yourself. That ain't going to help. That will not pay for your sins. If you die, that doesn't pay for your sins. No one can pay for your sins but the blood of Jesus. That's why he had to be born holy, merciful, and mighty, so that he could become Son of God, Son of Man, and be our King and our only King, to be our Lord, to be our Savior. In order to be the Lord, he had to be the Savior. In order to be the Savior, he had to be the Holy One. If his death had died and he wasn't the Holy One, he couldn't be the Savior. The only thing that made him rise from the dead was that he was holy. He died for you. He did exactly what God wanted. His death paid for your non-death. your sins. So your sins are covered by your faith. Faith, then, is believing in the blood that covers the spot. So when God sees me, when he's looking at me today, no matter what I've done in my life, no matter what I've thought, when God sees me today, he doesn't see a good husband. He doesn't see a good pastor. He doesn't see a good person. What he sees is a wicked, nasty, sinful person that believed in the blood of Jesus, and he just tickled with me. He goes, oh, he's so cute. I love Jim. Mwah, you cute little boy. And he just loves me, and he won't let me go. He just loves me. Now, anyone else have that kind of a God? Yeah, that's the God. That's God. He's tickled with me. I don't have to do anything. I didn't do anything. I did wrong things, and he loves me. Huh. Tell you what, that changed my whole life right there. First person that ever saw any worth in me, any value in me, as the first one. As the first one. Peggy always prayed that I'd have some value, but she never saw it. Didn't find it. Well, I'm praying that you'll be the husband that I married. Well, who was that guy? I don't know that guy. You know, well, I thought you were going to love me. Oh, well, there's a disillusionment right there. I thought you were going to be my helpmate. So we both had our thoughts. You have to get rid of them. How many know that the person that you marry, you cannot dominate and use for your own fulfillment? Hello? You have to accept people as they are. And sometimes you hate them, right? Sometimes you hate them. I think it's one of the joys of our marriage is she can say to me, I hate you. I love that. Because I hate her right back, you see? So you can both hate each other and survive. How many of you can survive that? That's just flesh. How many know that was just flesh talking? That's not the spirit at all. The spirit says, oh, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Your flesh is hating my flesh. That's the way flesh is. But thanks be unto God, we're covering our spots with faith. So the Holy Spirit within me loves you just as you are. You don't have to change. Just as you are. That's unconditional love. Jesus Christ came into the world. He was the Word of God beforehand. He existed forever. Then he became a man. But he wasn't a creature like we are. He was the Word and still remained the Word. While he was on the earth, he still was the Word of God. He was still the Son of God. He was just becoming the Son of Man and showing to the world, this is what I wanted you to be, completely submitted to heaven. And wow, that has killed me. That vision, that dream, that idea, that piece of knowledge has killed me. Because he doesn't want me to run my life anymore. Doesn't want me to run my marriage. Doesn't want me to run the church. Doesn't want me to run the world. I was eager to do that. Now, what's the point of living now? To bring heaven to earth. To bring earth under heaven. So that the marriage, the church, the personal life, the finances, the health, the wealth, everything brought under the kingdom of God. How many know that God loves you? And the way he made the world, he made it right. But the way he made the world, it was right, but it wasn't perfect. Because it needed God. It's his world. And you cannot have a world apart from God. Apart from me, you can do. But in me, through me, by me, with me, you can do all things. So the word in the Greek language is sulambano. Sulambano means to take or receive together. So when the seed comes into the woman and she's impregnated, it means sulambano. She conceives. She takes. Sun means with. Sul, sun. It's the same. So sul is together with receiving. So you receive that seed that comes to you as Mary, and you're impregnated. That's how the kingdom of God is conceived. But it isn't realized until you're birthed. So the conception is, when the Lord first speaks to us, we conceive then, we take a hold of it by faith, and pretty soon the Holy Spirit then works that birth out, and transforms us into his likeness and image, he is building today the kingdom of God, and nobody is going to stop it. The devil can't, my flesh can't, your flesh can't, and therefore, we can be happy today. You don't have to see it to believe it. Believing is seeing. Seeing is not believing. I don't need to see it to know that my marriage is perfect, our church is perfect, the kingdom of God is perfect. I don't need to see it. I don't need to see the devil dead to believe that he's finished. I don't need to see the Lord setting up his throne to know that he's already ruling. And because of that, I can start today to be free, happy, joyous. Anyone can join me in that? Let's start today. Let's start heaven right now. Why wait? Start heaven in your church. Start heaven in your family. Start heaven in your own life. Start heaven in your health. Start heaven in everything. Bring everything under the kingdom of God. How can you do that? Oh, it's easy. First, you believe. First, you repent, number one. Number two, because of his mercy, you believe. And number three, by his power, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Apart from him, you can do nothing, but with him, you can do all things. Did you know that you can do everything, everything, and be completely happy? Now, I want you to know that you're already happy in heaven. If you're a believer, you're already happy in heaven. You haven't seen it, you don't need to. Why wait to see it? Why wait to see it? Did you know that right now you're completely happy? And not only that, you love me. That's a miracle. That really is. I know I don't deserve it, but I'm taking it. I'm going to receive that together with. I'm going to conceive of that, and it'll bear fruit. Whatever you conceive of will come to birth when it's done in God. You see, human births may not come always, but God's thing always births. God has never had a birth that aborted, that didn't come forth. So what God's seed, his word, Jesus Christ, become flesh, will birth, will come forth, and bear great fruit. So I want you to be impregnated today like Mary. The thing that Mary did was so beautiful was Mary believed the angel. That is, she believed God. She believed God when the angel said to her, Mary, all these things are going to happen to you. All these things are going to happen to you. She said, behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That is what you must say today. Lord, everything you have in mind for my life, for my marriage, for our church, for this world, let it be to me according to your word. Start with me. Let's just start with me today. Let it be to me according to your word, according to the Logos, the divine Logos, who became flesh and dwelt among us. We killed him, but he forgave us. And now he's ready to live in us and be the Lord of our lives. Amen. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. Love y'all. God's good.
If you need prayer this morning, if you need baptism in the Holy Spirit, come on down.